Post-show, bitches.
Hello, everybody. So, I mean, look, there is a nice thing about having a computer in your pocket.
Yes. Yeah, so I brought out the Dogfish Head American Beauty, which is in the Dogfish Head bottle with the tiny neck. And I have the Perdini, one of probably our second to lowest reviewed.
I'd like to put Try the Joey in the Perdini.
In the Dogfish.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Held in the gas there.
That did hole in the gas, yeah. It's more to see if it fits.
Yeah.
It does.
It does. That's it. That's our backup.
Yeah. Now, will that pull off?
Yeah, see, this doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
That one's not worth buying. Not versatile enough. Even the old style Xylus there works in that bottle.
Okay, so, welcome to the post show. Yeah.
Yes. See you later.
So you're going to Disney.
Disney World. Walt to Disney World, Orlando, Florida.
So when are you going?
Leaving either Friday night or Saturday morning. So Friday night would not be a good time to do a show.
No. Doesn't say.
You wanted some of this?
Yeah, I'll have a little bit.
This is the American Beauty from last week. Drink it up. I still gotta like reverse engineer the travel plans. Like, I think what we've decided on is we're gonna go to the park Sunday morning. We're driving.
Mm-hmm.
I think what probably work out well is getting a hotel, 2 hours or so from Orlando.
Okay.
So get up at like 6 a.m, drive to Orlando, get there at 8, get in line by 8:30. Park opens at 9. That's kind of so that I have that much planned out. But I haven't worked back from 2 hours north of Orlando back to Pittsburgh yet and what all that means. So
you're only going to be there for a day?
No, we're going for the week, but that's the first day.
Okay.
Planning the first day. We check into our hotel later on Sunday.
All right.
But we're going to the park on Sunday. So if we don't get there till midday, you know, that's a possibility too.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to optimize would be to get to Orlando at 8 o'clock on Sunday. We don't think it's a great idea to drive through the night, be pretty tired, and then have to entertain 2 kids at Walt Disney World. That could be rough, right?
Well, I mean, I would hope that Walt Disney World would entertain them on its own, right? I mean, isn't that sort of the point?
Well, you can't take the kids and say, hey, go, I'm going to go lay down, or I'm going to sit on this bench for a little bit. You go do your stuff.
That's true.
You're doing what the kids are doing. So the idea is, I think, to get some rest north of Orlando,
mm-hmm,
then drive in for the park opening. It's kind of the thought there. Now, like I said, I haven't worked backwards from there.
Yeah.
Whether that means there's another overnight or whether we drive from Pittsburgh to Florida, get a hotel for somewhere between 8 and 4 hours, you know,
and
do that kind of thing. Whether it's a nap or a sleep, I don't know.
You know more than I would, but how are the kids in the morning and waking them up and getting them all dressed and getting them ready to get into a car to drive for 2 hours?
That'd be okay. They're gonna be so excited that they'll be good. And we got enough screens to keep them occupied in the car anyway.
That's so important. Yeah, that's something.
Got lots of screens to keep them occupied in the car.
Was not something that we had, you know, when me and my sister went down to there. So
yeah, it's a crutch, but it's
a good crutch.
It's gonna make the job easy. I mean, yeah. Allie has an iPod. Max now has Heather's old iPhone that I repaired the screen to. You know, so they each have their own iOS device. We have the iPad. Heather has one of those. We have a Leapster Explorer. We have an InnoTab pad thing. You know, plenty of screens.
Yeah.
Probably not even going to take the DVD player.
Yeah, why bother?
I don't know. That's a good way to pass an hour and a half, though. Take the DVD player, put in, but you know what DVDs am I going to put in at this point?
So you're doing the whole experience, the Disney World plus Epcot?
Yeah, we're going for several days, 4. So we check in Sunday. We're going Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So there's Epcot, there's, it's not Universal, but there's like Disney Hollywood Studios,
mm-hmm.
there's Animal Kingdom, and Epcot. So yeah, there's 4 places. My brother-in-law subscribed to a website and mobile app called...
I'm sure Disney has some sort of app.
Well, they have. Well, this is better. This is touringplans.com, and they have the Lines app. It's kind of like a concierge. Like it, they have plans. Like they recommend how you move throughout the park.
Or you can get a golden ticket.
What's that?
Isn't that where you can just bypass the lines?
Well, there's fast passes, but you only get like one. They're limited on how much. So this tells you. Do the events in this order.
E-ticket or whatever it's kind of. Right. Yeah.
But the fast pass that we do have, this event, this touringplans.com says, you know, do these things, get your fast pass for these things,
uh-huh.
you know, and it tells you how to, and there's a bunch of different trips, right? There's for young children, like 1 day, 2 day. 2 day holiday is what we're actually going to do because it's going to be, parks going to be pretty crowded. So it's a little bit lighter.
Oh yeah.
So, but 2 day holiday for young children, you're still doing a lot of stuff. And there's a 3 hour break in the afternoon for your kids to nap.
Not bad.
So, you know, it's pretty well thought out. They tell you where to use the fast passes. They, then, you know, beyond that, there's 2 day small kid, princess heavy, and there's 2 day small kid pirate heavy.
Huh.
So you can choose boy or girl. You know, if you only had one kid, you could choose either the princess track or the pirate track.
Sure.
And they tell you what to do, what order to do them in. So it's I think that's a good way to maximize your time at a park like this is to have one of these places who their bread and butter is being this online virtual concierge to tell you how to do the park.
Sounds like a good idea. I'm sure, like I said, there are Disney apps that you can have for inside the park.
Yeah, but this has a mobile app, and it's the same thing as the website. Yeah. So you can just... And on the mobile app, you're like, okay, I did that. So, okay, doing that next. Mm-hmm. Check that off the list and just work through it.
So like a little to-do list.
Yeah. Which is optimized. They take into account, like, most of the crowd goes this way, so you can go this way and mm-hmm. end around, you know? Like, they do all, like, all kinds
of... Try to get one of those turkey legs. I know they have those at Disney. <you know? laughs>
So was that you talking about the? No, that was my brother-in-law. He was talking about how all the Indian kids, you know, were native or Asian Indian kids walking around with turkey legs. Like that seemed to stick out for him. Like you know, he didn't notice the white kids as much, but all the Asian kids had turkey legs.
I just think you know now that I know about it, if I were to go down there, it'd be something I'd do because it's just it's one of those. Things it's just sort of something that you do.
Yeah, and I mean, I just got logged into this touringplans.com thing yesterday. So he went to Disney last spring, and when you sign up for this thing, you get a year thing. So he gave me his login, and so I didn't even have to pay for the site. So
hey, ain't nothing wrong with that.
I guess they figure you're not going to go to Disney more than once a year. And if you do, you know, you're an interesting individual.
I'm sure there are, you know. I wonder what it's like for people who live in that area, who actually mm-hmm. live around Orlando. I mean, I'm sure that some of them, well, they get jobs there. But then mm-hmm. some of them are like, well, yeah, there is that huge theme park that, you know, we can't. Well, I guess it's got to be good for business because you get people coming around.
I mean, we do live near Kennywood, right? Which is it's not a huge theme park, but people do come to Kennywood, right? You know, and we either go there once a year or we go there every couple of years. You know, that's how we see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't think so. I don't know. I'd be curious to know if an Orlando citizen goes to Disney once a year. Or whether it's like they go there once every 10 years because like,
yeah.
Fuck Disney, you know?
I imagine you do get a little sick of it after a while. Is there a Pittsburgh thing? I mean, besides Kennywood, is there a Pittsburgh thing that's an equivalent of something like, oh God, no, I don't want to go down there. That's everything. all Pittsburghers do that. I don't know. I mean, when I lived in D.C., there was the mall, but the mall was different for people who live there. It was just sort of, like, I think I told the story before. My friend and I were like, what are we going to do today? Let's just go play Frisbee on the mall. And we just did it. Mm-hmm. And then there were people taking pictures of us. We were just two schlubs from just north in Maryland, and we just went on the mall because it was a nice open space.
Right. Well, D.C. is a weird place, right? I mean, it's the capital. It's half government. Well, it's one-third government, one-third lawyers, and one-third tourists.
Yes.
Right? I mean, so it's a strange mix you won't see anywhere else.
Well, there's actually a really interesting cultural thing that's come around in the last, like, 20 or so years. Mm-hmm. So most of the time I have not been there. But but there has been a really interesting cultural renaissance that D.C. has gone through.
Yeah, but I mean, the tourism culture of the city is just...
It's huge.
Yeah. Or at least of the mall area. You know, it's... When you're there, you're like, you know, it just, I'm trying to figure out what words to put to it. It's just like, you know, like people come to tour these old stone buildings, you know, like,
well,
the millions.
The thing is that was interesting to me is going to other places and realizing that museums cost money. Okay. Because, you know, the mall, you just go in. You know, that's what you do. They don't cost any money. They're government supported. You just walk in.
Yeah.
And you go to other places and, yeah, you got to pay $15, $20, $30 sometimes to get into a museum.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
That's funny. That's a funny realization.
I love the Natural History Museum. I even, volunteered there, and it's a very cool place. But, yeah, you go to, like, a place, a good example is, so there's the Guggenheim on the mall, the Modern Art Museum, and here in Pittsburgh there's the Mattress Factory. Really cool. Mattress Factory is awesome, but Mattress Factory costs $23, $25 to get into. So,
right. Yeah, those federal cultural things are quite nice to take advantage of.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So I said I'll tweet this morning and say, you know, I'm driving from Pittsburgh to Orlando. I'm thinking about stopping at Cigar City. I'm not sure. Cigar City's in Tampa Bay. It's about a 90-minute drive to the west.
Uh-huh.
Southwest.
Right.
I'm not sure if I'm going to make it there. It'd be cool stopping at Cigar City, but not sure. But I asked if... and then Asheville, you know, great beer city in western North Carolina, isn't too far of a detour to get there. So depending on how we feel on the way home, we might drive through Asheville, spend some time there. But I asked people, you know, what else is, you know, do you suggest? And I got two suggestions today. A couple places in Orlando worth checking out. There's a brew pub and a bar. And then someone said in Charlotte, just off the highway, there's a brew pub you should check out. So got a couple suggestions. If you're listening and you have suggestions, well, you know, on something to check out. I would also like to check out, no, this is just me speculating. I'm not even sure how close I'm going to be to this place, but I would like to check out the... Brickstore Pub in Decatur, Georgia. Guy from Pittsburgh opened the place. It's a pretty good beer shop. I'm not going to go too far out of my way to make that happen. But, you know, if the fates align, I'm driving through Decatur, I might check it out. But I don't even know where Decatur is, technically. I think it's, like, southwest of Georgia or of Atlanta, but I'm not sure.
So when will you be back?
I'll be back... I need a calendar here. One sec.
So we'll be back by the 27th?
Give me one sec.
Which is the end of... Which is Friday at next week?
Friday will be the day I leave Florida.
Friday of next week?
The 27th. 27th is when I leave Florida.
When you leave Florida. So you should be back by the 28th, 29th.
The 30th would be maybe the 29th. We could do a show. I know we'll be back the 30th. You could do a show on the 30th.
Okay.
Or we could do a New Year's Eve show.
We could. I have a New Year's...
If you got plans, don't worry about it.
I have a New Year's Eve party, I think, but it doesn't last for the entire night.
It doesn't last till midnight. I don't really want to start the show after midnight.
No. No. Well, I'll see what the deal is. But yeah, we can always do New Year's
Eve. If you're sitting around the house with nothing to do, we can do the show on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
If you have a party, go to the party.
Okay. I think I have a party. But New Year's is a good day, right? I mean...
Yeah, New Year's should be okay.
So...
Yep.
Checking that out. Let's see. What else?
Shot my handgun again this past weekend.
Yeah, I saw the stuff about and your father had the same thing with left-handed versus right-handed.
Yeah, so this is more so for any shooters who are listening, they'll find interesting. You know, having almost no experience.
I won't be able to relate.
Humor me a little bit.
Yeah, but go ahead.
It's confounding. So, as we talked about before, I think, I'm not sure how much I covered on the show or not, got this new FNS 40 caliber semi-automatic handgun. And I've put about 250 shells through it now. First time out, I shot 200 shells. This Saturday, I went out with my dad and brother, and I rationed myself and only shot about probably a little less than 50. And most of that, I'm left-handed. I am left-eyed. I need to preface this because you wouldn't believe how much feedback I got back on Twitter and Facebook. People thinking that I don't know how to use which eye when I'm shooting a gun. I've been shooting guns since I've been 11 or 12 years old. Now, granted, mostly all of my experiences with long guns, not with handguns. But I know about eye dominancy. I know how to hold a gun and how to use my eye to sight a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm left eye dominant, left-handed. And so I got this FN Herestal 40 caliber because it had ambidextrous controls on it. You know, release the magazine, release the side lock left-handed. I paid a little bit extra for that because of the ambidextrous controls. So 220 some shells through the gun. Every shot where I haven't adjusted the sight picture for this off target has been low and right. And then if I aim high and left, I can get it on the bullseye, but it's consistent. People were suggesting using the wrong eye. The more substantial suggestions were that I'm slapping the trigger. So if I'm holding the gun with my left hand,
mm-hmm.
and I'm pulling the trigger too hard, I'm kind of making a fist and pulling the gun down mm-hmm. and right. Do you see mm-hmm. what I'm doing here? Mm-hmm. I will be cognizant of it, but I cannot imagine that I've done this every 220 times, especially with the gun. When you're shooting multiple rounds, it has this safety thing and there's a reset. So what you can, there's a lot of pull on the trigger. It moves, you know, a fair amount, a lot more than a single action handgun or something like that. So when you pull the gun, you pull the trigger, you hold the trigger in as it goes off and you re-aim the gun after the recoil and you let it out slowly, not the whole way, but just until it clicks, just till the trigger resets. And then you're right at the point where it's ready to fire again. And you pull it again, just the tiniest little bit. With me doing that procedure, I can't imagine I'm slapping the trigger and pulling the gun down and doing that kind of twist. Long story short is, you know, towards the end of Saturday, I'm like, let me shoot this gun righty. I was starting to get to the point, and I still don't have, this is almost like a, I can't visualize the geometry to make this true, but I wanted to test it out. And like, imagine where the gun is set up for a right-handed grip. And for the left-handed grip, the geometry's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it shoots off, you know. Being an ambidextrous controlled gun, I can't imagine that's the case, especially for this gun. For any gun, but especially this gun. So I'm like, let me shoot six rounds through it right-handed. I go through right-handed. I've never shot a handgun right-handed. It didn't feel too weird. You know, my hand was strong enough and coordination was enough. And I had to close my left eye because of the eye dominancy thing. And the six shots were right on, dead center. The windage was perfect. elevation was a little variable, but all within like the seven ring of the target, you know, where the previous 6 or 12 shots I had shot were with the exact same sight picture, left-handed, and they were all low and left in like the 4, 3 and 4 ring.
Okay.
And I'm like, what the hell? How did that right? So I pulled down the target, put it up another target, did 6 more rounds right-handed. Or no, I did 6 rounds left-handed, low and right. So I loaded up 6 more rounds right-handed, dead on. So I shot 12 rounds right-handed, and the sighting is spot on. I've shot 220 some rounds left-handed, and the sighting's off. It's perplexing. I've watched some things online about handgun hold grip and stuff, and there's a couple things I think I need to try to do to improve. I am concerned that when I'm holding the gun, I'm twisting my shoulders a little bit, so my left-handed left shoulder, I'm twisting the hold to the right a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of stretching my deltoids out on the left shoulder a little bit more than I should be. I don't know why I had that habit. The shooting videos I watched, no one mentioned that that's good. So I just picked it up on my own. It was a bad habit. So I'm going to kick that habit. And the second thing is my hands are fairly big. So when I grip the gun and touch the trigger, I'm not touching the trigger on the pad of my index finger, but more so in the first knuckle crack.
Right.
And someone, the sales guy at the store saw that and said, you know, I should pull the finger out. So I'm hitting the pad of my first index finger. So I'm probably not paying enough attention to that and need to take care of that. And then the third thing was the grip. I was doing a grip that I thought was right. A grip that I got mostly from, there's a reality show in history called Top Shot. Colby Donaldson, remember from the second Survivor, you know, and he,
oh,
remember him? He came in second on the second Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And he hosts this show called Top Shot. And it's a shooting elimination game. It's Survivor with guns. And he does his best. I want to be Jeff Probst impersonation.
Right.
He seems like such a tool on the show. But there's a lot of top-notch marksmen on the show. They go through a wide range of guns. And I enjoy the shooting on that show, so I watch it. And but you learn some things about shooting, like, you know, with the whole handgun with a saucer grip like this, where you mm-hmm. put it on top of a hand, that's only in like 1970s cop shows, like
right.
Magnum PI. That's not how you want to hold a gun. You want to wrap your hand around the knuckles of your thing like this. So this is kind of how my grip was, where both wrists were straight and I'm wrapping my right hand around the bottom three fingers of my left hand. But I saw on YouTube there is another grip. It's called the wrist lock or something like that. But if I take my right hand and bring my thumb forward and twist my wrist down as far as it'll go, this helps with recoil control because this is a lot more stiff.
Mm.
So since you're pushing your wrist down as far as you can, you got tension there. So it's a lot stiffer than trying to keep a straight wrist tight. So I haven't shot any rounds through the gun this way, but I'm going to try that. I'm going to try bringing my right hand. I'm going to lock the wrist and see what that does. Beyond those four things, I don't know what I could possibly be doing wrong mechanically to cause this to happen.
Well, just shoot righty.
That's what people have said, but I'm left-handed. I'm left-eye dominant. And as far as shooting goes, your dominant eye is king.
Right.
You have to accommodate your dominant eye. So, like, some people are cross-dominant. Where they're, one of my neighbor down the street, George, he's right-handed, left eye. And, you know, so he has tried shooting left-handed to match his dominant eye. So the eye is really the king of that. Do you know what dominant eye you are? Have you ever looked into it?
I'm pretty sure I'm right eye dominant.
So, I mean, easy way to figure out, make a circle with your hands like this and hold it out. Focus at something on the wall. And then arm's length, full out. Full out straight in front of you. With both eyes, you know, reach your arm out as far as you can. And then just pull it back to your face and see which eye that circle goes to. Don't fight it. Just whatever comes natural.
It just goes to my right eye.
Yeah, so your right eye dominant. Yep. So yeah, that's my I'm not frustrated yet. I've only put 250 shells through my gun. It's hardly a drop in the bucket. It's still a baby. I'm curious. I'm trying to figure this out. And worst case, I have a couple friends who are pretty hardcore shooters. I just have them watch me shoot. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Right.
Yeah. Well.
And I need to get you out on the range sometime.
Yes.
Now that it's winter and snowy. See, the thing with the range is, the range I go to is the Game Lands range, public range. I try to go early, like shortly after it opens on the weekend, because there's not too many hooligans there using the public range, but I'm probably more scared than I need to be. I'm probably scared because people I talk to are like, oh, the Game Lands range, no good. Lots of, you know, ghetto rats there shooting their Glock sideways, you know, that kind of shit. I've never seen it, though, you know? So, but, you know, it's close to here. Opens at 8 o'clock on Saturday. You know, get there by like 8:30, 9 o'clock. Spend a little bit of time. The range is quiet. There's not line. You know, it's just pretty easy to come and get in and out. Once springtime comes and gets a little bit nicer, we could definitely do an afternoon or something like that, take you there.
Sure.
But I'm thinking you probably don't want to be in Wexford at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday when it's like 30 degrees or less.
It's probably not ideal.
Yeah. So. But yeah, I'll take you out.
Yeah, I'd love to. I love to give it a shot. Or several.
Literally.
I don't have any weapons of my own, so besides a kitchen knife that can...
Mass destruction. Well, you have a bathtub. That's a pretty potent
weapon. I do have a bathtub that works well in electronics. So avoid my bathtub, everybody.
Damien asked me today, did you hear about Greg? He dropped his laptop into the tub. I'm like, no, because he normally saves things like that for the show. He's like, oh, well, no, he didn't do it then. Yeah, I'm like, no, I haven't heard, but I'm not surprised because, you know, Greg saves news, things like that for the show.
I was thinking of telling you, it was like, you know, it would probably make more impact on the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I played dumb when you told me. I guess, you know, now I'm letting the cat out of the bag.
That's all right.
I should have been like, oh yeah, Damien told me, but no, I let you have the reveal. Sorry about that. Sorry for lying.
I was kind of expecting that Damien might have told you. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't have been surprised or you know, like, What? Yeah.
I don't know why I played surprise. I should have been like, oh, yeah, I heard, you know. I don't know why I wanted to, like, let you reveal it. Maybe I didn't want to tell you Santa Claus didn't exist. We could really get into the whole psychology of why I did that. Because I don't know. I just did it, you know. I'll lie to Greg here and just be like, oh, wow, you dropped your laptop.
Yeah.
I didn't really put much thought into why I lied to you. Maybe a lie is a little overboard, but I think it could be distilled down to a lie.
Yeah, I suppose, but I don't know. I'd rather not dwell on it anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Damn laptop, motherfucker.
I mean, like I said, there's nothing I can do about it, mm-hmm. and I can't get all that upset about it because it's just stuff and I didn't lose anything, but mm-hmm. I still don't want to dwell on it. Right. I still don't want to be like, really think about it a lot, because it did kind of bug me the first couple days, and now I feel a little bit just kind of like resigned to the fact that, that you know, I'll have to wait a while before I can get something new.
Get a Chromebook.
for what I used it for, that might not be a terrible idea.
Biggest problem with the Chromebooks, you know, my mom has one. It's fine for that web browsing, Google apps. You know, it's pretty functional. They don't make a Chrome. Well, the Pixel, maybe, but the Pixel's not cheap, right? Yeah, so you know, they don't make a Chromebook with a decent sized screen,
right?
you know, the screens are pretty tiny. I'm trying to think. I don't even think the 13 inches. I think they're, you know, 11.5, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's the only complaint my mom has, is she would much rather have one with a bigger screen. Yeah. But functionality-wise, it's perfect fit for your, you know, your stereotypical senior mom type person. You know, even though Microsoft is running those anti-Chromebook ads. Did you see those?
No, I have not.
What was it? You know, like, it was almost like a personal attack because I got my mom a Chromebook, and they're like talking about like how limited Chromebooks are, and if you're not online, you can't do anything. You know, that kind of thing. Like, assholes! Stop picking on me!
Yeah.
But they were promoting Windows 8.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I could get a Surface. There you go.
I haven't touched Windows 8 yet. Been out for over a year, and I haven't touched it yet.
Yeah, I was thinking about, okay, what would I replace it with? Maybe an iPad, maybe a, because...
Well, your old opinion was that it was a content consumption device, not a creation device.
Right, yeah.
That's changed some. Some. It depends on what you're creating, right?
Right, right.
But, like, with Google Apps, you can do a lot of the office creating. They have iMovie. You know, you can do decent video production, decent home video production
right.
on the iPad. You could get the Apple wireless keyboard for it, so you could do a lot of data entry in it, mm-hmm. you know. It might be feasible at this point. It all depends. You don't play games too much anymore, so you really don't need...
Yeah, and if I were to play games, I would probably play games on my main computer at home, right. and that has, you know, it's much more powerful. It's got, mm-hmm. you know, and I have a 7.1 surround system headphones for it, so I've got, you know, mm-hmm. I've got the goods going on right. that. And
yeah, Scott from Eastern Brewing, he needs a new laptop. He has an old Acer. It's falling apart. And, he was looking, you know, he saw my, you know, Apple and so he was going to ask me, you know, have me help guide him through, you know, an Air or a 13-inch Retina or a Pro or something like that. But then he started thinking, he has an iPad mini, and he was wondering what he could do with that, without that, with a larger iPad, get the keyboard. And, other than doing his QuickBooks, which he's going to keep on the old Acer until the old Acer breaks, he's going to go the iPad route, but other than, you know, just updating the blog on the website, you know, it's a lot of consumption, you know, the actual creation, the accounting stuff, he's going to do it on a PC, right?
Yeah.
So it's a good question. Like when I'm giving him suggestions, I'm like, I really hesitate that saying, yeah, go iPad. You can do what you need mm-hmm. to do, because there's going to be some corner cases you're going to hit a couple times a year that you can't do. You
right.
know? But if you have that backup PC, it's not a big deal. Eh. You have an iPad 1, right?
Nope.
No, I thought you did.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I have a Kindle Paperwhite.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you had... Were you borrowing an iPad from Damien or something?
I borrowed one for like 2 weeks or something. Oh, but
I thought you had one for an extended period of time back in the day. But maybe I'm just remembering the time you borrowed his iPad right after it came out or whatever. Or a year
after. Yeah, I borrowed it, but I never really used it, so...
Right. That was the last time we talked about the iPad, I think.
Yeah.
Well, so, Heather got one. I'm sure we talked about when Heather got one.
But, I mean, you know, I liked it that they have a new iPad that's thinner, but of course that's $600 or whatever it is, so...
Yeah, I don't know if any of the... Nexus tablets or any of the Android tablets are any yeah. good. They make some laughably shitty Android tablets. You see those ones like, you know, $29.95.
I didn't see that. Wow.
Oh, maybe not that low, but I mean, there's ones, you know, they have the resistive touch screen where you have to, you know, you use the stylus and stuff.
How bad is the Kindle Fire? I don't even know.
My brother has the original Fire. It's not a bad device. I mean, it plays Amazon Prime Video. The biggest problem, I mean, they really hold on to their ecosystem, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there is Pandora. There is not Spotify. Mm-hmm. You know, there's, at least there wasn't the last I looked. If you're a consumer of Amazon content, it's good. If if you're a Prime subscriber and you buy Kindle books and you're going to buy Amazon Music, I don't think you're going to really complain. Other than, like, lack of... I'm trying to think. I don't think it has a camera or doesn't have... It definitely doesn't have a front-facing camera, if that. So if you want to do FaceTime / Skype / whatever video chat, you know, Google Hangout, you have some problems with that, I think. But the HDX, I don't know. I don't know what and what not the new Kindle Fire is. I would probably take that cash and put it towards an iPad mini or something like that.
Yeah, it'll take some time before anything comes of it. So, you know, it'll be months. It'll be months.
Yeah, so. I don't think I would buy a Fire. However, we just got an email from Amazon saying we can get 20% off a Fire, being a special affiliate customer. So you want 20% off your Fire, I can hook you up. Oh, speaking of that, Amazon Anonymous.
Oh, yeah. I don't have a way to look.
Let me pull up the last week's worth of stuff here. People have been waiting for this shit, man. We can't let them down.
We'll give it a pause and then we'll take a look. I gotta use the.
All right, where do we start? Amazon Anonymous or the community trailer? Okay, you just showed me the community season six?
Five trailer. Where they make a big deal about how Dan Harmon's back, and it's already funnier in just that trailer than it the is. Entire the, season
question,
four.
Question I have off the top is, how much of that footage was cut only for the trailer and is not in the season?
Oh, no, that's all season.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. All the stuff that's in the season.
Because, I mean, it was all cut like the perfect action movie trailer.
There's a real meta joke in there about how Donald Glover is leaving after five episodes, and they make a Scrubs meta joke about Zach Braff. So, really, really funny. And, like I said, already funnier than the entire fourth season of Community. Just in a trailer.
That was pretty good. All right, back to Amazon Anonymous. Did you?
Yeah, the Thomas Aquinas.
Did you move my tab here?
I made a new tab.
Where'd it go? Damn it.
Where did it go?
Uh-oh. Oh, there it is.
Okay.
All right.
Whoop, there it is.
One of these tabs here? Okay, yeah. So you had the Thomas Aquinas book, right?
Yeah.
A Shorter Summa.
I think right. It's, yeah, this is sort of a, you know, Thomas Aquinas is a whole bunch of different philosophical things, and he was really influential Christian philosopher, and he influenced a lot of, you know, Catholic and even mainstream Christian thinking. I think it's really interesting to look at that stuff, especially if you're interested in philosophy and you're interested in religion, to see where he goes. Because this is, you know, quite frankly, a brilliant guy doing doing a lot of really brilliant analysis. And then you see, if you're like me, you see the problem with it, which is that he doesn't do any experiments. He just does, you know, logical things. He does it all through logic, and as we found out, that's you can't use logic. I mean, you can't use just plain old logic. You have to use experiments to back it up. But it's still, I think, a very important and necessary thing to, if you're really interested in these arguments and you're really interested in understanding philosophy and the way it's gone through its build up, it's very important to understand, you know, Aquinas and his arguments.
Okay, cool. So I was going to pick some buckwheat pillow, but then I found the item. And this is the there's also Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas by SpongeBob SquarePants, which gave us 3 whole cents.
3 cents? That's better than no cents. So, yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Now, this is the Hunter Specialties Butt Out 2 Big Game Dressing Tool. And this is a butt plug for your dead deer. You stick it in the hole, and you cut around, and you yank yank it out when you're gutting your deer. They don't have any pictures of this thing in use, unfortunately.
Shocker.
It is $9.99. I've only gutted a deer once. I never saw a need for an orange plastic tool to help me cut out the butthole.
Well, then you just haven't cut a deer enough.
I guess. It sells commonly with the mossy oak deer hoist and gambrel. And this is the thing where it's a pulley system and like a clothes hanger used to hang the deer by its hocks after you've gutted it to bleed it out. Or maybe not bleed it out, it's not the right term. But, you know, before you actually skin it and whatnot. Yep, so someone bought a $10 plastic tool to help you cut the butt out of a deer.
Sweet. That's Amazon Anonymous.
Amazon Anonymous. I do want to read about a buckwheat pillow, though. Not on the air. Well, unless you want to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so let's see. Someone bought the buckwheat pillow. Zen Chai 100% organic. Zen Chi 100% organic premium buckwheat pillow. Queen size 20 by 30 inches. It's in stock. It's $29.95 with free shipping. Over $35 fulfilled by... Oh, it's Amazon. Okay. For shipping on Amazon. Sold by Toys and Games, etc. Filled with 100% organic ground buckwheat hulls. Allows air to circulate for natural cooling comfort. Will naturally adjust your ideal position of head, neck, and spine. May relieve common sleeping problems such as tension, muscle pain, stiff neck, headache, and stress. 100% refillable, so you can adjust the amount of hulls in your to your personal liking. Used for centuries in Japan, the buckwheat pillow is an organic, natural sleep pillow perfect for anyone with foam or feather allergies, as well as anyone who wants a better night's sleep.
Well, there you go. And if you would like, you can invite some bees around and make some buckwheat honey out of it. Buckwheat honey.
Well, it's just the hulls. It's just the hulls.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't sound very soft. I've never seen a buckwheat hull, but if it's like barley hulls or rice hulls, not so soft.
Might smell good though.
It might. It could also be neutral. I mean, just being the hull, right? Yeah. It's hard to say. It gets 493 reviews. It has 4.2 out of 5 stars. Give it a shot. You'll probably be surprised. I read about buckwheat hull. Oh, we should reviews about the butt out. I don't care about the pillows all of a sudden. Hold on. Humor me here for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Butt out reviews. Four and a half stars. This is going to explain to me why. 4.3 out of 5 stars. Amazing tool. Wish I had it 20 years ago. There is no way to describe how this works without being gross. I'll just quote the manufacturer's website. At the start of field dressing process, the tool should be inserted to the handle into the deer's anal cavity. Then turn approximately 1.5 turns and use the handle to pull out a 10-inch section of the deer's intestine, which can then be cut off. Then the rest of the field dressing job can be done quickly. So I guess you're just using it to cut the colon or the large intestine, you know, sever it from the anus.
Right.
See, the way I've seen deer's field dressed is you just, from thigh to thigh, you just cut out the whole asshole.
Uh-huh.
You know, the tail is still there, but you just cut from thigh to thigh. You cut the anus. The anus stays attached to the intestine, and you throw that all away. But apparently this one, okay, so it really works quite well. I think once any hunter uses it, they will never want to field dress a deer the old-fashioned way. The more I hunt, the less gear I find myself bringing out into the woods. Most of the consistently successful hunters I know carry very little gear with them. This tool, however, has earned a permanent never leave in the truck spot. Never leave in the truck spot in my possibilities pouch. Magic possibilities pouch. Lightning bolt. Critical hit.
That is kind of cool. Yeah. You just received a possibilities pouch. What could be inside? Who knows?
Okay, is there any... What's the critical review? Wait, no critical review? Okay, here's a one-star review.
Didn't have any deer, so I used it on my neighbor.
Tried using this twice over the weekend on whitetails. It's not terribly easy to use, and it doesn't really help the field dressing process. This seems like a classic answer to a question that no one asked. Just keep your knife sharp, and this isn't needed after all. I generally don't write negative reviews, but this is just pointless. It's easier just to use a knife and cut old school style.
I'm going to go with the new refinement. I mean, why not, right? I mean, go for the cool tool. It's only $10. It's not like this like a $100 thing. It's $10. You know, you tear out a deer's anus.
It prolapses the deer's anus so you can cut it off. Yeah. So
now, are there any internal organs of the deer that you do want to preserve?
I mean, you could save the heart and the liver.
Yeah.
You know, the things you eat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, presumably you could save the deer's intestine and make sausage, but I've never heard of anyone doing it.
The brains?
You could. You can't. It's just meat, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. Did you hear that the state of Pennsylvania wants to make it illegal to slaughter cats or dogs for the purpose of human consumption? They're going to pass legislation. It's going to pass, almost certainly.
Sure.
To make it illegal to slaughter animals to eat them.
Was that a problem?
You know. It's not widespread, but every once in a while you hear about a Chinese place or whatever that was serving cat, right? That's already illegal, but they want to make it illegal for you to slaughter cats to eat at home now. And, you know, when I heard this, you know, the skeptic in me, you know, thought of you specifically. It's like, why are some animals cute and not okay to eat and why are other ones not?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, this is a crazy bullshit overreaching law. Like, oh, cats and dogs, and maybe, I think horses might be on the list too. It'll be illegal to kill them if your intent is to eat them.
Right.
What kind of law is that? What kind of public health, what public service does that provide?
You know, the only thing I can think of, the only reasonable thing I can think of is that it maybe something came up where some crazy guy took some neighbor's cat and killed it and cooked it. And this gives them the ability to have an extra charge they can throw on that. I don't see any reason why this would just come up out of the blue naturally, like, oh, by the way, we have to make sure that people don't eat cats and dogs. There must have been something that came up where it was like, we want to be able to charge people to other people's pets.
Maybe, but it just seems like a legislator trying to protect us from something we don't need to be protected from. Like,
shocker there, too. I
mean, reefer madness. You know, it's just cat meat madness.
Yeah, I know. How much meat can you really get off a cat, too? I guess more than a squirrel, but, you know.
But squirrels are good. You know, squirrels are game that you can eat. Why? Yeah, the whole logic of why it is illegal to eat, I think what they said is domesticated animals, right? Dogs, cats, horses, things that don't live wild. But cats, there's so many feral cats that it's almost a blurry line at that point,
there
right?
There are feral cats, there are feral dogs. The very name of the chicken that we all eat is Gallus domesticus. Yeah. So, you know,
it's absurd. I know I'm not trying to like argue against you or anything. I knew you'd fall exactly in line, but you know, when I heard it, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to pass a law that says you can't eat cats.
And they're definitely going to pass that law. Cause who's going to vote against that? Who's going to say, oh no,
that's why we need more, you know, that's why we need some libertarians out there. Just say this law is fucking stupid. You're wasting everyone's time.
Well, the problem is all libertarians are all now moral, you know, moral crusaders as opposed to being pure libertarians. So
just need some reasonable people. No. No, we're not going to waste our time passing this law.
Yeah.
So, you know, I posted on Twitter this morning about going to Orlando, right?
Uh-huh.
Gary replied to my Facebook saying, "Oh, shit, I have a package on your way. I think it's going to be there on Friday, but if it's not there on Friday," I'm like, but he did it as a comment, not as a message. So I need to write back to him. So he just told all the beer thieves in Cranberry that there's going to be an awesome beer package on my steps Friday morning.
I'm sure one of your neighbors could pick it up. So you got that going for you.
Yeah, he actually, I think he's kind of worried. He just sent an email about it. Well, not just 8 hours ago, he sent an email about it too, but.
Thank you, Gary. But hopefully, we'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't live in a neighborhood where people are stealing. Other than me telling Twitter that I'm going to be out of town, that's more of a risk than someone stealing beer off my porch. So, anything else? Don't eat cats.
Don't eat. I don't know. Cats may be great. I don't know.
If they were great, we'd be eating them.
Eat insects. Eat more insects.
That's sustainable, but it's not as delicious as prime rib.
No, it is not. But that may be a cultural thing. That may be just like something we're used to.
Might be. All right, thanks. I think it's time to wrap this up. I got to pee again. I got to go to work tomorrow, so I'm going to go to bed.
All right, have a good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye.